one thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh, what
do you think? I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inch. Joining me on the show, we got Nikki Ducey, my co-captain.
What's good? What's good? New York all day, baby.
BZ430.
What up, though?
Shelton J.
What's happening?
I'm not going to forget him this time. Manny from Any Given Sunday. Looks like they you still in the corner, man?
Still in the corner, man. Still in the corner.
Oh, you taking a shit, boy.
I know. That's why I had to ask.
Nah, I'm not taking a shit. I'm in the corner of my bedroom, man. My little seating area.
Same corner. Good. I don't remember that.
Different. Same corner. I pushed it back a little bit. Today, I don't care, man. I'm just, it's going to be here. TV on.
All right. Well, we're going to jump in, man. You know, if you guys haven't had a chance to, for NBA people that are NFL fans, just go watch our quick reaction to the Deshaun Watson news. But yeah, we're here to talk about basketball. Q will be joining us. FIFA will be joining us. So that means we're going to have three of the most talkative people that I know on the show. So
we're going to do rapid takes.
I already know. I figured it out, Nick. It took me a second until I sat down. And I was like, man, why is Q popping up? The game last night.
Of course. He was talking shit last night.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
That's the only reason why he only come when Philly win, which is why he don't come a lot.
Oh, my God. I hope you don't forget that Shelton is a Sixers fan, too. So he's going to have to
Shelton is not a Sixers fan. All right.
I thought he was a Hornets fan.
It's both, Manny. Nah. I don't go nowhere with either one. Now, either one, I'm a hometown guy, so I'm a Hornet. But I've always been a Sixers fan. That's when, even when they were bad. During the process, I was there.
Well, I'm sure you're going to have a lot to say about that, too.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and get into the show.
Well, I wanted to start. This is a conversation I think that Ken, you and Shelton were having in the chat. And we're going to start in New Orleans with Shelton's main guy, Lonzo Ball. I just want to have a quick discussion on Lonzo Ball and his career so far. Right now, I'm hearing a lot of trade rumors with the Pelicans trying to move off on him, along with J.J. Redick, and I believe there's one other player. I want to have this discussion because for a guy who was picked number two overall in, what, 2018? Or is that 2017?
It's been a while, man, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's fairly recent still.
He in that 3-5 window.
He's still in 3-5?
Yeah, he's 3-5.
He's 3-5 years out of the league, right?
He still got a shot, Nick. That's all I'm saying.
I just want to know what's going on. Shelton, I want to talk to you about it because you had some things you wanted to say.
No. It wasn't Lonzo Ball. Me and Ken.
Oh, you're talking about Kuzma. You're talking about Kuzma. We're going to get to Kuzma.
Yeah.
But I want to get your thoughts first on Lonzo Ball and where he's at in his career and, like, how he's been bouncing around before the end of his rookie deal.
Yeah, Lonzo, to me, could not handle the pressure. We talk about pressure a lot. We talk about the spotlight. He had a lot heaped on him early, and pressure bust pipes. It was a good thing for him to get out of L.A., but then Zion came to New Orleans, so he brought the spotlight with him there too. So I just think it's just a lot to handle. More is expected of this man, this young man at that, than he was able to bring to the table. I applaud his father because his father pushed him up there to be drafted number two. Even though he was a good player and he showed good signs, I think that his dad kind of propelled him to the spot that he was in. And he just hasn't performed. He just hadn't. And it'll be nice for – I like the Pelicans too because I like Zion. It'll be nice for them to get off and get some assets for him or get something for him. You can get a lot, but you can get something. But, yeah, he's just in over his head right now. He needs to be somewhere where he can kind of hide out and grow and develop at a slow pace.
You can hide out in New Orleans.
But I'm about to say, I thought that's what people or the consensus was when he left LA. Like, okay, he's not in the spotlight. He's not in the media spotlight of Los Angeles. Now he's in a low key small market team, you know, in the Pelicans, that was supposed to be his low key moment. So, you know, if the Pelicans willing to give up on him and trade him, that's not a really good look, especially
come. I feel like,
what's his third year, right? It's his third season now.
It's fourth.
So yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, yeah, I'm just saying that's not really a good look, especially for someone. I think he was what, drafted second overall in the draft.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So for someone to be drafted that high and to have that, you know, that's kind of like a spotlight. You know what I mean? That's my expectations when you draft the second overall. You're already about to, you possibly getting ready to play on your third NBA team in 4 years. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying he a bust. Maybe this third team might be third time's a charm. What they say, isn't that what they say? That might be it for him. You never know. But it's not a good look. It just doesn't look good when you're like, oh shit, damn, you about to get traded.
I don't know, man. I feel like he's being scapegoated a little bit. Like I gotta find out more what's going on in that situation, because to me it's kind of strange. It feels kind of strange that how many games we've seen this season? How many games we're into this season? What, like 15 games into the season? 20, yeah, it's about 20 something games in, and we're already talking about getting rid of Lonzo Ball. And I know that team has kind of struggled. If being honest, that team has been a major disappointment, because for the talent that team has, they have not been able to kind of put a winning product together. So I think I almost get the feeling like he's almost being scapegoated, almost like, oh, this team is not performing up to standard, so let's just ship out Lonzo Ball and make it seem like it's an issue with Lonzo. Because, I mean, if you look at his numbers, it's not like he's been terrible. You know what I mean? His numbers are at kind of his career numbers. Like, I think he's averaging like 11 points, 6 assists, something like that. So they're not like horrible numbers. I mean, for a number 2 overall pick, yeah, probably doesn't look as good. But, I mean, they're not terrible numbers. I mean, it's not like he's out here putting up just 2 points a game or nothing like that. So I don't know. That whole situation just kind of – I don't know. I want to see more. I want to hear more of what's going on in there, because it just doesn't feel right to me that already they're talking about offloading him.
Yeah, you know? maybe something in the winds might come out from this. Maybe it's some beef with the front office, or maybe – not getting along with the coaches. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, hey, from the optics of it, it doesn't look good.
And as a Laker fan, Lonzo, come home, man. Come home.
But you know what? I don't think everybody doesn't grow at the same pace.
Right.
And I think that some people, it does take them a little longer to develop. Not to say that he's ever going to be a superstar or anything like that, but at the same time, he can be a solid, serviceable player. I remember somebody on the show, Ken, saying that he was going to be out of the league in a couple of years. I don't think that's the case whatsoever.
No.
But I think that he could be a solid player. Will he ever be a perennial all-star? Probably not ever. But he can improve his game, be a solid player, and play in the league for years to come. And that's what you're really looking for.
JJ Redick did it.
Yeah, that's exactly – thank you. That's exactly who I was thinking about. And he's there so he can learn from a JJ. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it is more than anything else. And I know what y'all was saying about the spotlight. Leaving LA and going to a place where probably the most watched player in the league other than LeBron James, being there brings the spotlight right back. Even though it's a small market, you got Zion there. And everybody's tuning in for Zion.
So, I don't buy that, Shelton. Like, even the whole spotlight thing just doesn't make sense, because Zion was a piece to it. You know, he was an ensemble piece. Like, to me, Zion's the guy there. So I don't think anybody's turning on Pelicans games like, oh, let me see what Lonzo's doing. I think had it just been Lonzo and not Zion, I think that point has a little bit more validity. But to me, they have Zion, they have Brandon Ingram. I mean, I don't think that's it for me. I don't know. Like I said, that's why I want to reserve judgment on it in a way, because to me, it just kind of feels like he's being scapegoated. Like, oh, we're struggling. Oh, let's just put it on Lonzo Ball. Like, I don't know.
He's regressed so far this season. He's been hurt, obviously. We know that. And while B.I. has improved his game, Zion is maintaining or may have slightly improved his game, Lonzo hasn't. And I believe most of this falls on the new coach. And I don't think that the way he wants to play fits what Lonzo does. I do believe, though, that the losing record they have is partly due to Van Gundy not playing Lonzo the way he should. Because they were winning and playing better when he was in the rotation, at least before the bubble happened. And the bubble happened, and then maybe this is who they are. Because this is how they were playing in the bubble. Like, but didn't they lose all their games in the bubble?
Almost, pretty much.
They only struggled. Yeah, they struggled. They struggled in the bubble.
This is a character from last season, and we didn't have a good coach, and we didn't have a coach in there to fix it. But at this point, we could just say Lonzo is just average and mediocre. He's just a mediocre player, an average player. Good defensively, great as a point guard, can get the ball where he want to go. He's just going to struggle shooting the ball. He may be like Jason Kidd later on down the line, where he, you know, be a little bit more consistent with his jumper and stuff like that, or not. But I think this is just where his career is gone, and we can't. I'm kind of with you. I don't know if it's anything to do with the spotlight, because he freaking left the spotlight. But Brandon Ingram got better, didn't he? Massively better.
Definitely did.
You know, and Lonzo hasn't. But I just think that Lonzo and Zion, they do make a great pair. Like, when they up on the court.
I agree with you.
They make a great pair. So I think this is a mistake by Van Gundy and probably by the organization. I also think that – wasn't Drew Holiday there last year?
Yeah.
I think they missed Drew Holiday as well, and that's also partly why they struggled. But
I think the trade is mostly coming from, they got a couple young guys, and I think one of them is a draft pick that they want to get in more involved.
Yeah, Kyra Lewis or whatever. No, I'm still high on Lonzo. I still think Lonzo can be a very good player in this league. I mean, is he going to be a superstar? Is he going to be Jason Kidd? No. My comp for Lonzo when he was coming out, I thought he was a taller Rajon Rondo. Like, I think that is the comp that I see in him. And I still think he can be that. I think he just needs to go to a point guard coach. Like, I think he needs to go to like a Mike D'Antoni or Mike D'Antoni type system that really kind of just unleashes him and develops him. Because so far in his career, I mean, he really hasn't had that guy. He really hasn't had that, that coach. It's been Luke Walton, and say what you want to say about Luke Walton. And then, you know, now with Stan Van Gundy, who I like Stan Van Gundy, but I mean, he's not, I don't think anybody's going to sit here and say Stan Van Gundy is the guy that's going to develop point guards per se. So I think that's, maybe I'm making excuses for him, but I still believe in him. And I still think that he has an opportunity to.
I was going to say, I think Lonzo is just another guy. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not, and just by being another guy in the NBA means you're better than most people in the world, in this country, especially obviously because you made it to the NBA. But as far as when he goes against other people, like, I don't see that aggression. Like, when you said, I do agree, Manny, as far as talent and skill set wise, he is a bigger and more athletic Rondo, but he doesn't have Rondo's aggressiveness when he needs to. He even when he was playing against his brother, Shelton, you could probably speak to this. When it was Charlotte versus the New Orleans, like, Melo had more aggressiveness and willingness to just go up and do what he needs to do. Lonzo's very passive, more passive than you need to be. Like, you have an open lane, go take the layup. Why are you looking for another man open? Like, be dominant when you can be. You're fucking number two overall pick. Like, it's just, I don't know, like, maybe it was one of those situations, like, you know, when the dad is more excited than the kid? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's what it was when it came to Lonzo and his development. A team that I could see him possibly being developed is with Boston because of Brad Stevens. But outside of that, if you need to go to bounce around and coach to be better, to me, that just says a lot about you and where you at when it comes to you're taking control of your own development. Because, like, why isn't Lonzo?
He has an elite skill set. We know he's a great passer. So he has some things that could contribute to a lot of.
He's a great defender, too. He's a great on-ball defender.
So there are things that people can work with when it comes to Lonzo. Sometimes these players just are who they are. I just know that a couple of weeks ago I came on this program and tried to tell you know, some of the people on the show that this was going to happen or it was being talked about. But, you know, nobody listens to me, so it's all good. What's next, Nick?
Seriously, though, maybe he just doesn't fit in their long-term plans. And in saying that, you try to trade to get what you can get for him. It may not even be that he's bad or anything like that. He just does not fit what they see next to Zion growing in the future. So when his contract is up and you have to pay this man, they're probably not wanting to pay him what they're going to have to pay him. So let's unload and get what we can get and move on. It doesn't have to be necessarily a nasty breakup. But
hey, that was good, Sean. See, Sheldon's the reasonable person.
He's starting to be. I'm scared. I'm getting scared because he usually be saying some other shit.
He's a reasonable person, huh? Okay.
He got water in that third. Let's talk about the team that traded Lonzo to New Orleans, the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yes, sir.
More specifically, since we've been talking about development, Sheldon, this is the topic that I was calling you out for at first between you and Ken. The development of Kyle Kuzma, who just got paid this past offseason, which I guess it was a surprise to me, maybe not to most people, maybe not to Laker Nation, but it was a surprise to me just because based on how Kyle was playing, I didn't know if he was in the Lakers' future plans or not, but he obviously is.
We all question that. Yeah. He struggled at the time.
My question to y'all is Kyle Kuzma's development and growth just as important as AD's development and growth when it comes to Lakers and their future post LeBron?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
The discussion we had last night was about that very subject. So everybody can know me and Ken were discussing Kyle Kuzma's growth, which in Ken's opinion, he's progressing. In my opinion, he's definitely regressing.
What?
And I, you disagree? You think he's progressing?
Yes, I disagree.
I don't know what in the world y'all watching. We're talking about a guy who is supposed to be the third piece in this three-headed monster who got paid this money this summer, who's averaging less than half of what he averaged as a rookie. And you're saying he's progressing? How? He ain't even averaging 10 points a game.
Because, see, this is what you got. See, this is my problem, right? People look at statistics and they paint a narrative. And they paint a narrative that, guy's not doing this. But you got to think about it. First of all, last year was a struggle because for the first time in this dude's NBA life, he wasn't the guy. Like, people forget. LeBron gets there. And even his first year, he meshed well with LeBron. The biggest thing that changed for Kyle Kuzma was Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis and Kyle Kuzma play the same position. So once Anthony Davis got there, Kyle Kuzma doesn't have a role. So automatically, you're already asking this dude who's still young, still coming into his own, to change the way he plays. And he's trying to figure it out. He's trying to figure out, okay, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to be a scorer? Am I supposed to just be a rebounder? I'm not a spot-up shooter, so I'm not going to be one of these guys, a la Kevin Love, that just stands in the corner and just shoots threes. That's not my game. So he spent, and then of course he got hurt. So he spent the entire season last year trying to figure out what his role is. I think Kuzma is better this year. He's figured out his role. He's going to do a little bit of everything. He's going to score when needed. He's going to rebound when needed. He's improved defensively. He's shooting a career best from three. Like, I just don't understand, like, what else do you want this? Like, yeah, is he averaging 17, 18 points like he did in his first 2 years in the league? No, but his role has changed. Has changed.
But shouldn't he average at least 10 points a game, you think, regardless
of what his role? But look at the Lakers, though. The Lakers are a deep team. Like, LeBron is averaging a career low in minutes, I think, because look at all the options that we have. Like, we have Montrezl Harrell. Like, in any given night, like, realistically, the Lakers don't even have to play Kuzma. And they could probably still have the same.
And they don't. They don't play him. He only played a few minutes the other night.
Other night.
We're going to take the last five games. The last five games, I think it was, he scored like 6, 5, 5, 3, and 1 or something like that. He's not playing at all. They're not playing him. So if he's progressing, why is he not seeing minutes on the floor? If he's part of that second, first off, he was the third head on a tri-headed monster. They expected him to be the third guy on this team. So if he's the third best player on the team, I agree with you about him doing all this extra stuff too. That's fine that he improved that stuff, but I didn't expect his scoring to drop off over half. That's a lot. That's a big drop.
Why?
Who does that? Who drops off over halfway if LeBron averaged 15 points a game, but played a more well-rounded game. Now, we know he fell off. If anybody else in the league is doing this, they fell off. But because he's doing the little things, like getting a rebound or two or doing something like that, that's big.
Because you got to watch the game. You have to watch the game.
Hold on, he's not on the floor. I know this is purple and gold, man. I know you're passionate. But, Shelton, I think you're forgetting that they added pieces. Not only that can score, but that can do other things as well. So Manny already mentioned Harrell, but they also added Schroeder. Kuzma is not the third guy. Schroeder is the third guy. So it's going to limit his scoring opportunities. Kuzma has went on record as saying that he's acknowledged that his scoring opportunities won't necessarily be there the way they were in the past because of the addition. So he's worked with LeBron and the coaches to work on improving his game in the other areas, the areas that you can't see or that's not accounted for in the box score. These little things matter, and they help lead to a winning culture. There are times when I'm watching the Lakers, when he's on the court, I'm not even looking at the ball. I'm just watching Kuzma to kind of see what he's doing and see how he's improved his game, you know, from last year to this year. He looks far more composed and you know, settled into what he's doing. People can say it's because he got the money, and that's fine. You know, I would feel relaxed too if I got paid when I didn't know what was going to come up. But he has definitely progressed in areas where he was weak. If you want to knock his scoring against them because they got other scorers on the team, then that's fine. But Schroeder is a legit scorer in this league. So, you know.
I mean, I don't expect them. I think you're misconstruing what I'm saying. I don't expect him to score 20 a night.
You said 10. But
I expect him to score 10 a night. As an NBA player paying the money he's making and the steps that he'd taken before, you don't fall off that far and say it's a progression. The only reason I kind of agree with y'all is because the team is winning. If this team was losing with the same stuff going on, then it would be an even bigger problem. But still, as far as him personally, I'm not talking about the team. I'm talking about him personally. This guy's not playing the best defense like that. I watched him the other night get torched. And I've seen him get torched a couple times now. Like he played Matador defense when it came time to try to guard Tobias Harris last night. I'm seeing it with a lot of players. He's just not he's not doing all these great things. The team is winning, and it's a better team. Yes, that's 110% sure. But this guy right here is not the same guy that I know. I watched him at Utah. This guy's always been a scorer. That's always been his strength. Now, what we talk about with other players is building on that. That's the same thing we gave all these other players. And that's what we talk about moving the goalposts. This is a prime example of that. Because we talk about certain players adding and evolving into something that they were not. He's doing some of the other things, but he's getting rid of the things that made him special in the first place. They didn't pay him to come be a glue guy. That ain't why they gave him that money. They gave him that money to either be a dominant piece or they're going to move him somewhere else.
I disagree. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll say this, and I want to give these thoughts as well. I disagree because for the fact that they paid him means that he is something down the line. It is great for a young player to get that championship experience, that playoff experience, that legendary experience from LeBron to be able to be coached up and through this during his downtime, which is what you're talking about, Sheldon. If you're looking at the numbers, yes, he's regressed, but look at what he's learning at basketball IQ-wise. That's why I asked the question about his development and growth being as important as AD's, because LeBron is about, what, 2-3 seasons away from possibly retiring, maybe sooner than that, depending on how shit shake. This Laker team still has to have somebody there. And what other player do you see that, like, a Kuzma unleashed once LeBron and the rest of this cast goes away? It'll be him and AD to run the team. I'd be more excited about that because we already know that Kuzma can score crazy. We've seen he scored, what, 40, 45 points a season or two ago, whatever, when he went off. Like, he can go off. But I'm more interested in seeing his long-term growth because we've seen scorers come and go in this league, but we haven't seen all-around talent.
Do y'all really think that Kuzma is that guy like that? Like, I think y'all putting a little too much dip on his chip right now.
No. The only reason I'm putting it on there, Q, is because you traded away Brandon Ingram, you traded away Lonzo, you traded away all these pieces, but he was untouchable. What was the reason? Because he's a glue guy? Because he's going to dive on the floor for a rebound? Is that why they kept him?
I wouldn't say no. That's not why they kept him. They kept him.
You didn't know you was going to get all these other pieces, and then they got the other piece, and he fell back.
I think the reason why they kept Kyle Kuzma was because they were hoping that in development they could turn him into a catch and shoot guy. I think that is what was the main operative there. So I'm not even putting the same type of perspective on it that, man, they paid him all this money. Man, first of all, Christian Wood got what? How much money? 60, 70 million from Houston, and dude was in the G League two seasons ago. So they're giving out money to a lot of people. I don't mean that.
It's a real baller.
Can we dispel a myth here? First of all, they gave him like a 3-year, $21 million contract for Kyle Kuzma. That's a bargain. You making it sound like they gave him $180 million. They didn't give him $180 million. They gave him a 3-year. They basically gave him an extension of what his rookie deal was. So let's dispel that. Look, I'm not disagreeing with you, Shelton. Like, yeah, ideally in a perfect world, do I want Kyle Kuzma to be averaging 18-6 a night? Yeah. But I'm as a Laker fan, because I was frustrated with Kyle Kuzma last year, because I think a lot of it was in his head. I think a lot of it. And then the thing that you're forgetting about is the Lakers got AD, the player who plays the exact same position that Kyle Kuzma plays. So by definition, getting a guy like that is already going to hurt you, because now you have a way better version of a you already on the team and on the court. So, like, if I'm Kyle Kuzma, you're sitting there. What is my role? Like, what am I doing? Like,
that's
you're
exactly right.
I'm not a spot up shooter, so you can't turn me into Kevin Love, because that's not my game. AD doesn't want to play center for the majority of the game. So it's not like you can play them together.
Sorry.
You know what I'm saying? You're not even waiting until we get into the Philly situation.
No, no, I'm about to say that. Sorry, okay. Just was on my
throat. All right. Good.
Thank
you. You know what I'm saying? He can't be Kevin Love. He doesn't want to be, and AD doesn't want to play center. So it's like, what do you, so if you're Kevin, if you're Kyle Kuzma, like, what do? You're still trying to figure out your role. This year, he's accepted his role. I'm gonna come off the bench. I'm going to do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, he said it recently. He's still trying to figure it out. And that's the case at this point. And like I said, winning cures all. So right now, this team is winning. And with LeBron, they're dominant. And they deserve all the accolades that they're getting. But at the same time, if this team was average, and we can't really say if is nothing, but at the same time, in as far as his career, and we're just talking about an individual, we're not talking about anything but him. He's not the same level of player he was before. I don't see the same player. I don't see a better player. I see a player that's doing the little things to keep a job, but I don't see that player that made him special.
A championship winning basketball player with IQ, you don't see a guy who's pounding the ball 8 times to get 19 points on a bad team.
No, if something, God forbid, happens to LeBron or AD, the player that they would have expected to step up would have been Kyle Kuzma, regardless.
And how do we know that he can't do that, though? How do we know that he can't do that if the situation calls for it?
You would agree
that if they traded Kyle Kuzma right now, forget what they get back. If they traded Kyle Kuzma to the Kings, you don't think Kyle Kuzma can revert back easily to the player he was?
I don't think the Lakers would be affected in any shape or form.
Am I on the show too?
Yeah. What's up?
Oh, go ahead, kid. I'm sorry.
I've been trying to get in. They just keep going.
My bad, man, because you're tricking me on that Kyle Kuzma shit.
I really want to go back to what Q asked us, is like our expectations for Kuzma. The only thing really that I'm saying, Q, is that I think you just said it. Like, I'm seeing him fit within a role on a championship team. He's gone from not trying to be the guy to get up 20 points or to prove that this is why they kept me. So when I said that I like how he's playing, I remember the Kuzma that used to do that. I like that Kuzma is trying to focus on improving other areas of his game where he was weak, and he's making a valiant effort at doing that. And no, I'm not expecting him to be Kevin Love or some superstar like that. I'm judging Kuzma on his role within his team and just how he's mentally trying to do more than just be whatever he was at Utah. I think there's something to that. I like that.
Before we move on, B, what's your thoughts on the situation with Kyle Kuzma?
I just think Kuzma's role has just changed over the years since being on that Lakers. Because if you look at his first, like, about 2 years, I mean, he averaged like 16 his first year. But you look at that roster, it was Julius Randle, you know, Brandon Ingram, you know, Lonzo Ball. Then the next year, he averaged, I think, almost 20 a game in the 18 season. That was before LeBron came there. So it's just like his role just changed once Bron got there, and like to Ken's point, he's fitting in to his role on that team. I mean, he got a championship playing that role. So, and I think he wants to expand that, because what I'm seeing, at least from the games that I've seen from him playing this year, he's better at pick and roll defense. His pick and roll IQ was a lot better than it was in the past. So I think that's pretty good, because you'll be surprised how many players don't know how to read pick and roll defenses. So I think that's dope for him to do that. Yeah, he's definitely a little more scrappier, but that's like I said, to Ken's point, he's just fitting his role on the squad, because yeah, of course he's not going to be that third guy, and I think we just kind of got spoiled a little bit just from seeing his development in his first couple of years. But again, this is before Brian got there. Once Brian got there, stuff changed up. And when AD got there, it really changed up. So, you know, I completely forgot about them picking up, Dennis Schroeder, KCP. All of a sudden is like waking up out of since bubble basketball last year and this year, you know, KCP is kind of taking a load on in that scoring, as well as the sixth man of the year. So I think Kuzma just trying to find his role. Given the opportunity, if Brian go down or something, God forbid, I can see Kuzma average going from 9 points a game to 18 points a game easily, like if Brian was to go out, because I think he can step in that role if you give him the opportunity. That's just me.
Next up, since Q-Man is here and we got the fake Philly fan in Shelton, we're going to talk about last night's game against L.A. at Philly, which was a very close game. I thought it was going to be a somewhat of a blowout. The way the game's going early, but
yeah, Lakers Sixers was cooking, boy. Yeah. Sixers was cooking.
It should have been a blowout, because LeBron should have been tossed for pushing that man with two hands. Period.
Yeah,
any other player would have been tossed
to the full game. Q, talk about your Sixers, man.
Well, hold on. We gotta establish some rules, because look, I know three of y'all are very passionate. Q and Manny, you guys. Can go on monologues like villains, okay, in a movie. So let's try to keep the points, you know, as condensed as possible, so we can have room for others, especially when FIFO get here.
Oh, good shit, Lord, I forgot about him. Shit,
bro, I tell you, it's gonna be off the chain. I'm gonna have to pull up an ottoman.
All right, let's go. But I'll start with you, Q. What were your thoughts on last night's game? What did you see from Philly that you like?
Yeah, man, like this. It's just a pretty interesting result, if I'm being real. Pretty interesting result that came from Embiid's dominance in the first quarter was really nice. Seeing Ben Simmons being able to push the ball is cool. I still believe that the Sixers, at the end of the day, played a solid enough game and they let their foot off the gas. But that's also what Shelton was alluding to. When Embiid hit the floor that hard, it was very clear that he was not like all the way there again until the finish line. So I don't look at this as people trying to paint it as one extreme or the other. Oh, Los Angeles is frauds or Philly is the world beaters. And somewhere in the truth is the middle to me, where we can look at the fact that LeBron played a great game, still didn't play an amazing game. AD, I still think we're going to have to look at his card, and I'm going to say it for as long as until I see it. I don't see that dog in Anthony Davis. I see some bark. I see some, you know, a recurring bite, but I don't see no consistency that screams dog to me, because Embiid can take his soul like he always does in every matchup. And I will take Joel Embiid as a big over Anthony Davis any day of the week. If you got to give me one game, I'm taking Joel Embiid over Anthony Davis. And that is just what I think is the overarching point for me. So I'll leave it there and say that it was a solid game, but it doesn't show us who is really who yet.
So would you agree?
I definitely agree. It was one game, and we're not going to make a big deal out of one game. I think that Philly played at their max potential. I thought you saw a lot. Like you said, no, seriously, it was a little different after he went down. Luckily, we had Tobias Harris to step in and close it on out. But it doesn't say much for what the playoffs are going to look like if these two face each other again. It was just a good game by Philly.
Man, you got your hand on your chin. What's up? What you got to say, man?
Nothing, man. I mean, you guys made all good points. I mean, honestly, it's a game in late January. It doesn't really mean much to me. I don't like you said, I don't think it means Phillies now just start printing finals tickets. I don't think it means the Lakers are the 96 Bulls. I think it's somewhere in the middle. You know, it's a game in January. It's Philly look good. I've been impressed with what I've seen all year. Honestly, I think Joel Embiid is taking that next step. I still think that team needs Ben Simmons to be great to take that next step. We shall see if that happens. But you know, it is what it is.
Real quick, I want to give a shout out to Terrence Forrest. He put a super chat in just to show support, man. So shout out to you, brother. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, he said he's new to the channel too. Thank you, Terrence.
To the channel. Yeah,
welcome.
Yeah, man, appreciate you, bro. Yeah, I mean, it's I just love that we got some good basketball. I'm always good for a good regular season basketball game, so I'm just happy that the game had me on the edge of my seat last night. But I mean, I don't take nothing away. Well, what I do take is that, like, if Philly, they do have, when it comes to playoff matchups, because I'm looking at, like, okay, if this is a playoff matchup, you got someone in Ben Simmons that's pretty good defensively, on-ball defender, who can guard LeBron, who has the size and the lift that can guard LeBron. You have Embiid, where when he plays aggressive, AD don't want no parts of him defensively. And MB showed that he can be a matchup problem for the Lakers. Coming if it was to ever be a playoff matchup. So yeah, I was looking at little stuff like that. Tobias Harris, like the fact that what you said, Q, he had a freaking manager guarding him on that winning.
He had a GameStop manager guarding him.
Yeah, GameStop manager. That shit was
I being like, disrespectful, man.
If Tobias Harris, but he was supposed to do that. As soon as I saw that pick and they switched, I was like, oh, Tobias Harris better take his ass. Like, if I was a teammate, I'd be yelling at Tobias Harris, like, take that motherfucker. And yeah, he sure did. Got a little bump off of him because he's taller than him. Went up for the easy deuce. That was money. But yeah, I mean, I'm not making anything big of a January game. I'm just happy we got good, intense playoff style type basketball on a regular season night. And yeah, like I said, the matchup problem, I mean, I can see Philly posing a little bit of matchup problems from the starting lineup perspective. I didn't really look too deep into the bench once teams start going to their benches, but you know, Doc Rivers got Embiid playing aggressive, man. I like that. Besides the way Embiid played down the stretch shooting those fadeaway jump shots, I didn't like that per se, but other than that, Embiid still played. He played a pretty solid game, man, and Doc Rivers got that boy playing aggressive. So, yeah.
Before I'm past the can, I got a quick thing. The two things that I noticed was the Lakers late game execution down the stretch. I was actually pleasantly surprised. Especially that I guess that screen that they set for AD to get that easy layup. That was just beautiful textbook.
Yeah, it was. It really was.
I thought that was the game right there.
I thought it was too. Until I saw Alex Caruso guarding Tobias Harris. I'm like, oh, that's what they want right there.
Yeah,
but and the other point is LeBron James and these free throws. I'm looking at the game in the box score. I'm like, bruh, that's the game right there.
Free throws always been iffy though.
He's gotten worse.
His free throws
as a superstar that he is.
That's not new. I mean,
I know it's not new, but it's just like it's so glaring when it comes to wins and losses. Like, damn, bro, if you just make your free throws, y'all win the game. And like and looking at the Lakers record, like their record looks great. I believe they are number two in the West right now. It's crazy. Utah Jazz have the best record in the NBA.
I remember y'all motherfuckers laughing at me when I mentioned from the beginning of the season. Don't think I didn't forget that shit. When y'all asked me who are some of the teams that's gonna be competitive and competing in the West. They I said Utah. All y'all motherfuckers laugh. I remember. I got names.
That was Manny who came out.
I was playing basketball in Pelican Bay. I remember that shit.
Putting cases on all you bitches.
All you bitches. I said Utah. Now all of a sudden, oh man, Utah, you ball. Oh my god.
They better than Washington.
Nah, but my last point is tying into the Lakers as far as like who they've beaten. I saw this, it was an interesting stat that said, or just note, the Lakers are 2-4 against top six seeds. The Lakers are 0-3 against top six seeds in the West. To me, and this is their first road loss of the season, so it's still early. Yeah, it's still early, but those are the things that I'm noticing as far as if they're going to go back to back. So I'll go to Ken.
You know, I think
80 overrated.
What's that, Q?
No, I was just, I had a case of it. No, you.
I think they were saying the same thing about the Sixers, like who have the Sixers beaten, right? Then they go out to beat the Lakers. So I think I understand that statistic, but I think given the fact that they just came off the championship and they were kind of coasting, you know, I kind of expect that. It kind of reminds me of last year when they kind of would lose to some of the better teams, and then they just, when the second season kicked in, they just started whooping them.
And it was just off of back-to-back, too, Ken. I think they played Cleveland literally the day before.
Yeah, they did. They did. Yeah, I like the fight that I saw. I didn't get a chance to see the four. I saw the game-winning play by the Lakers, and then I saw the game-winning play by Tobias Harris. And as soon as he got in, and I saw the switch, I was like, yeah, that's over.
Yep.
Like, I already knew it was over. Yep. Yeah, so.
I didn't have that much confidence in him. I was wondering to see what he could do.
Harris?
Yeah.
He was having a good game, though.
No, I understand that, but I never seen him. I didn't expect him to get the ball. I thought Embiid was going to get it, but obviously what Q was saying doesn't
make sense. Embiid was scared.
How many times I got to tell you about Tobias Harris, man? Y'all going to learn to listen.
Tobias Harris is good, man, but let's be clear that Tobias belongs in that category of NBA players who are playing good, but you waiting for the magic to run out. You waiting for the Cinderella to wear off. You waiting for the glass slipper and the pumpkins to turn back in to spoil ones. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I love Tobias, but like in terms of how he's playing, he's living up to the contract this year. Overall, though, I think most Sixers fans, most people in Philly, like we just are like, okay, when is it going to be the moment when he has his Jay Crowder moment? Remember last playoffs?
I remember
Jay Crowder was spazzing. Get to the finals, clink, 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 clink. And that's what happens. And we're just kind of waiting for that. And we're waiting for the moment because we're just masochists here. So that's just what it is. But at the end of the day, closing for my thoughts, I think Doc Rivers has us in a position where we could do something against a Los Angeles, like Ken was saying, because the X's and O's match up. You have a top five defender in Ben Simmons who can stick with LeBron James and hop up over those screens. And you have a guy who was willing to bang with AD and willing to put his weak-kneed ass on the fucking line. And that's what the fuck it is. And I'm sorry, but until we see these two teams in a playoff series, I'm not willing to bet. But I will say that the Sixers are the only team that are equipped to beat the Lakers in a seven-game series. I'm sorry that the Nets have no answer inside. The Bucks, they're not even getting to the finals. We already know what Miami's doing. Jimmy Butler done lost 12 pounds. He looks like 50 Cent in that BET movie. This shit is bad.
Hey, is he sick? Is Jimmy Butler sick?
I don't know what's going on, bro. But, what prayers to fam. But whatever's going on, this is what it is. So I don't see nobody but my two African kings in Philly doing what they're doing. God. You see what I'm saying? But, yeah.
Q on one. Lakers in five, man. Whoever they play, Lakers in five. Man, it looks like we don't even got to keep going through this, man. Next topic.
Miami got six, bro. You talking about? Okay, go ahead.
Hold on. We can't
finish. Danny Green ain't gonna lose the game for us this year.
That ain't saying much about Manny.
I'm about to stir it up.
Yeah, bro. Go ahead. Because I want to get FIFO's thoughts.
Yeah, you asked me to be brief. I'm trying to be brief.
Oh, I'm about to stir the pot up. Don't worry. Go ahead and get FIFO. FIFO, I just got a question.
Speaking of stirring the pot, this motherfucker eating. What's up, FIFO? What you think about that?
Yo, what it do?
The Philly Lakers game last night.
I didn't watch the whole game. I saw highlights. So I don't have the context. But what I did see was Embiid looked like a beast. And if the Lakers and the Sixers do play against each other, they don't have an answer for him. Marc Gasol ain't had nothing for him. AD ain't had nothing for him. And it also – oh, go ahead.
No, they said he didn't. They didn't. I mean, AD didn't want no parts of Embiid defensively. Mm-hmm. He didn't want no parts mm-hmm. of him.
And B was giving everybody the work, bro. Up and under, spin move, reverse. It was a clinic. That shot by Tobias was clutch. Listening to a couple of the media pundits this morning, they were talking about that Doc Rivers called that play to get that switch. You know what I'm saying? Tobias did what he did. To what I caught about what Manny was what Q was saying in terms of we're just waiting the Tobias miracle juice to run out. Tobias reminds me of Rashard Lewis, meaning that he was one of those, even though Tobias wasn't a free agent, but I feel it's a similar case. You gave both of those guys max contracts of their era, guys that can light you up for 30, maybe even 40, but you struggle for the consistency, right? Like, is the value of the contract worth the player? And I think for Philly, I think it's worth it because Ben Simmons still doesn't want to shoot perimeter shots. And you're going to need a ball handler, somebody that plays on that perimeter to take those type of shots if Ben isn't going to. So for Philly, it works, even though I don't like the Tobias contract and all of that, but it works for Philly. In terms of Philly making it out the East, I'll put it to you like this. I think that they're better. And I think the impact of Doc, you can see it immediately. They're executing down the stretch. I think that they got the requisite shooters around their two best players, but I don't know. I don't trust them, you know, because I got to trust history. And I know that this is somewhat of a new squad, but I don't know if I trust Philly like that.
If the Lakers and Philly played in the finals, who you got? Manny says Lakers in five.
Yeah, and that was a little disrespectful. You know, I think the Lakers will repeat, but I don't think that they do it in five. I think a lot of the teams are more ready for what the Lakers got. But I would definitely take the Lakers. I'll take the Lakers in six or seven.
Okay.
I just want to see Philly get there. I just want to see Philly get there. That's all.
Well, I guess my question, all I'm going to ask, and I'm going to just leave it there. You know, because the title, I don't know if you know the title of the show, Nick, is are the Sixers the best team in the NBA? And they just beat what we thought was the best team in the Lakers. I mean, I know we got the Clippers, and I know we got the Jazz and whatnot, but
I didn't say nothing about them winning the West. I just said it's going to beat, and y'all laughed at me.
I know. But we know Lakers are top dog. You know, to beat the man, you got to beat the man. Whether they just beat the man, right?
Yep.
Manny think the Lakers in five. So I'm just going to ask, are the Sixers the best team in the NBA?
No, they are. It's still the Lakers. The Sixers are up there, but
– Philly fan. That's all I want to say. You're going to Philly, y'all.
Yeah, it's coming from a Philly fan. I want to see more. I want – what you said was accurate about Tobias Harris and the whole team for that matter. I just want to see some consistency. When Joel Embiid went down, my fear was that we're going to be missing a bunch of Joel Embiid games now. You know how he does. You know, injury-wise, that back was already kind of sore. Now I'm scared we're going to be seeing a bunch of DNPs for him. And that scares me with the consistency of this team. And without that, I don't see how they can be number one yet. I just need to see a little bit more of consistency, him playing. Seth just got back, so I want to see Seth get back to his normal self and what he was doing before he went out. But to me, the Lakers, they just look tough, man. And I hate it because I don't want them to win nothing, but that's just what it is.
I completely agree. And I'll add on to it by just coming in with just more of what I've been saying for the past couple years. I called the Brett Brown exit 4 years early when I saw him in the early process days, not being able to actually close games because he was trying to win. You know what I mean? Unlike the organization that's trying to lose, we have to understand separation of powers, a separation of wisdom. That's why that Brett Brown was the lowest paid coach in the NBA because he was just a guy. You know, you can make a guy do whatever you want. You know what I mean? But we have a guy like Doc Rivers. You see that the team has elevated. still, this has not made us the best team in the NBA, in my estimation, because we don't have a secondary guy that is a ball handler that can execute in the half court, that can dribble into tight spaces, that can pull up for a mid-range as a three-level scorer, turn around, pull up Jimmy. We don't have that. We did have that in a Jimmy Butler, but we traded that. I'm sorry, we let that go. And we signed a Tobias Harris as a panic move. And I think that we're going to have to rectify the situation by having to trade Ben Simmons. I'm very clear now saying that we're going to be having to look at Ben Simmons in a new uniform, if not by the deadline, then next year. Because I see that the usage for Joel Embiid is way too high, that he shouldn't even be in a situation like that going up at LeBron when we're up 14 with 5 minutes left. Ben Simmons should be able to, oh, wow, Ben Simmons had 2 threes on top of blah, blah, blah. To keep it short, we are not the best team in the NBA. We are just one of the best few teams in the NBA. I don't think we have a best team yet. No one's
so cute. About that. There's another side to your argument, though, because Ben Simmons makes the 76ers an elite team. And we know that trades are never equal, right? Like, whatever you get back for Ben Simmons is not going to equate Ben Simmons. So you're going to be knocking down that team a notch and not being able to replace it.
Well, it depends on what your asset you're looking for in return. Because if you have Ben, all right, so I'm not trying to make this long, Ken and everybody, but if you're trying to get an asset, like, people are just going to bring up the names like Zach LaVine, Bradley Beal, yada, yada. If you want those type of guys, you're going to have to not just have Ben Simmons. You're going to have to include a guy like Tyrese Maxey, Shake Milton, maybe a couple second round picks to get a guy like Bradley Beal. Or you're going to have to package. And see, that's worth it, though, in my estimation.
I don't think so, because those guys are just more of what they have right now. The Philly is arguably the deepest team in the NBA, and they have young talent that their potential still hasn't been unlocked, right? Like you talked about Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah, for sure.
So in my opinion, if you let those guys go and you just go get you another scorer, you still are devoid of a playmaker on that perimeter to get those easy shots and set up everybody else. So in my opinion, like, getting rid of Ben Simmons is not necessarily the best move right now. And the reason why I say it is you can't get anything that Philly needs to continue to be elite. Right. Like, I feel like if they would have made the move for James Harden, yes, you continue to be elite, because James Harden technically is a two, but he's a point. You know what I'm saying? Like, he handles the rock and he's a playmaker for other people. So that works. Outside of him, who else is available that fills that gap? Because, look, let's be honest. Since Ben Simmons, I can't remember the stat all the way, but Ben Simmons creates the most open 3-point looks for his teammates out of anybody in the NBA. How do you replace that? You're not replacing that with Bradley Beal.
No, you don't replace it. I think that it's a transformation in play style, and it maximizes what you're up against, which is the ticking time bomb that is Joel Embiid's health. That is the ultimate limiting factor on every decision that Daryl Morey is about to make on the next 2 years, because he knows that once Joel gets to 28, 29, it is just, knock on wood, a matter of time before something. We don't know, but it's going to be something. So in that time, do you want to hope that Tyrese Maxey turns into what we think he's going to be, and Shake Milton is going to hope to develop, and Ben Simmons is going to be able to pass people open, but when it's time for the playoffs, he can't dribble into anywhere, and he can't do anything in the half-court offense? Or do you want to have a guy like a Bradley Beal who is averaging 31, or a guy even like a LaVine who perhaps could be unlocked by Doc Rivers to take that third step, and then pair that with a guy like Joel Embiid in a pick and roll and see what that can do? Now you have a two punch. That's just my opinion. I don't think you're necessarily wrong. I don't think that there is a right answer at this time. I just know that the business is the business, and Ben is going to want to have his own situation soon, and they're going to make that happen quick.
I don't know. I slightly disagree.
Ben has not become a superstar. That's the problem. If Ben had become the superstar that I think people expected him to be,
I don't think we were having this conversation. The problem is that Manny, he's not the player that he should be.
The only thing he doesn't have is a jump shot.
That's a big thing. He refuses
to shoot, bro. That's the thing.
And we can't pay somebody
not to do that. We can't pay him. It's not like he's Markel Fultz where, yo, he's trying and some of those things are just airballing, or he's Giannis and he just can't get his form right. Ben Simmons refuses to shoot the ball. Yeah, and I love, bro. I think he's one of the top three defenders in the NBA. I realize the loss that is for our defense, but it, fam, it hits different when you got to choose who do you take, Bradley Beal or Joel Embiid in a pick and roll versus, oh, Ben Simmons who's going to dribble right into the middle of the lane, pick the ball up in half court offense, and we're going to have an elite team, whether it's in the Eastern Conference Finals or the Lakers, in key moments, do what they just did, come back down 14 in 5 minutes. We can't have that. We have to have a guy who's, you have to choose. And people have already chosen that Embiid is the only one who can make these shots. That's why everyone is looking at Tobias like, okay. He's like a white dude in YMCA who is the game winner. Okay, what the fuck? You know what I mean? He's that guy. And that's what we're depending on? Absolutely not. Go give me a three-level score. I'm sorry. That's just me.
Yeah, because Ben don't show up in the playoffs. And that's just true. That's my favorite
can't,
player.
Can't disagree with that take. Yep.
By the way, real quick, B, the Pistons just beat the Lakers.
Yeah. I mean, Lakers
got so cold.
They played the Cavs.
Three straight nights.
Yeah.
It's AD January.
AD didn't play.
It's January.
Right. AD
January,
didn't play. Yeah.
Manny, let B have something, man. Come on now.
Manny, trust me.
I gotta defend my squad, man. Like y'all, this is all recency bias, man. Just, come on.
I am not up here throwing confetti because we just beat the defending champs. Like, we still out here sucking, man. Like, we still bad. So
we'll be back after this quick break.
I wanna move on to a conversation that I was thinking about. Since we're still early in the NBA, we're having conversations about what we're predicting and what we're seeing in the future, but let's talk about some things that have already happened in the recent past, specifically with like recent blockbuster trades that happened. I'm talking about the Mavs and the Knicks trade that happened a few years ago. And I just want to revisit that because right now the Dallas Mavericks are 11th in the West. They're behind the Phoenix Suns, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and Memphis Grizzlies in the West. The Knicks apparently are right now the 8th seed in the East. That may not mean much or say much, but they have the same exact record, or they have one more loss than Dallas. But I want to talk about that because of the way the media and certain pundits prop up Luka as, you know, the next upcoming great, maybe even better than Larry Bird. Looking back at that trade, you would have thought that the Mavs were going to be contenders by this point. And the way they're going, they're not even going to make the fucking playoffs. What does that say to y'all about just Luka? And also, what does that say about KP? Because that was the biggest piece out of that. When, if we're going to go revisit the trade itself, it was the Knicks sent KP, Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee, and Trey Burke to the Mavs. And they received Dennis Smith Jr., two future first-round picks, and the expired contracts of DeAndre Jordan and Wes Matthews. So my question to y'all is, what is going on with Dallas? Why aren't they succeeding to the level that people expect?
I told y'all why. Luka is trash.
Oh my God. Turn his mic off.
They're suffering right now. KP, Chris Porzingis. You know, and you know what? We need to get to that graphic you put in the chat, B. Because we need to talk about this. We're talking about a guy that they put on the same tier, the same level as who? Do you remember being
Kevin Durant? Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
That was Nick Wright. That was Nick Wright's little Nick.
Exactly. Wright, like, Nick Wright. That should be discredited already.
He did like a player tier pyramid. Of course, he had LeBron by himself. And then at two, in the second tier, he had KD and Luka. And I was like, what?
The Knicks respect. Luka hit one. It was a big shot. It was a great shot in the playoffs. He had this one big shot.
He still lost.
One big shot.
You know, and you know, he threw up triple doubles and stuff like that. And people think it's cute because he's white. Let's just be real. People like what Luka's doing and all of these numbers because he's white. If he was Westbrook, if you just reverse just switch names, people have a whole different conversation. It's because he's white. And you know what? I don't know what's going on with that because Rick Carlisle is a hell of a coach. Kristaps Porzingis still look like he can play. I don't know. Maybe he's falling off. But I don't know, man. Maybe Luka's just not there yet.
Ken, hold on, because you're being a little disrespectful. I agree with you to a degree, which is why I said Trae Young was the right move. It is what it is. But the difference between and I'm just taking about what you said. If you switched out Luka and Westbrook, the difference is that Westbrook is an agitator. Yeah, he gets triple doubles and yeah, he does a lot of stuff. But look at his play style. Luka's play style is a little bit more inclusive.
It is.
So I think that's the main difference.
I don't think Luka's percentages are all
But hold on, Ken. But also, okay, down the stretch, who is more poised? Luka. We always talk about Russell Westbrook is just chaotic. So that's not a good comparison. I haven't watched the Mavs like that. So I really can't comment as to the particulars as to why they're struggling. So I'm gonna remove myself from that conversation. But the whole Luka thing, Ken, you're jumping off the deep end a little bit.
So you know what?
Very much so.
Westbrook was a little excessive. Okay, I take that back. I'm sorry. I got carried away, people.
I know you didn't mean it, Ken. I mean, you know, dude can ball. I mean, Luka, I fucks with Luka. Luka can ball. I give him his props, but he's not on the same tier as Kevin Durant, in my opinion. No,
he's not. No,
Luka's a baller, man. Like Luka,
that's all I'm saying. It's an agenda that the media is trying to push. I'm here to be sure that we keep a level head about what's going on here. The fact that they put this motherfucker on the same level as KD, and I don't
care. KP, are we talking about KP or Luka? Are we talking about KP or Luka?
About Luka. They put
Luka. Yeah, I'm saying.
Durant.
Yeah.
And I don't care if it was Nick Wright, because Nick Wright has influence. Like you gotta start watching these patterns that happen with the media. And it started with Skip Bayless talking about Tom Brady is the most clutches ever and the greatest athlete. And then everybody else start picking this stuff up. That's what I'm saying. Luka can ball. He can play. He has great moments. But he ain't ready yet. He ain't ready yet.
You know what?
Ken, like for them to be comparing him to Larry Bird and stuff, it's like, okay, Larry Bird was winning championships.
Who did this stuff? Like who? First of all, like we give too much attention to these imbeciles on TV who just go out there and say anything. Oh, Trae Young is the greatest point guard that has ever lived. Like, because they just do it for ratings. They do it for clickbait. Like, stop paying attention to these morons, man. Like anybody who will sit here and tell you that Luka Doncic is on the same plane as Larry Bird is an idiot. Is an idiot. Is a moron. Like it's disrespectful. It doesn't even. We don't even need to discuss it.
For the common fan, go ahead. Who's somebody? Show.
No, I was just gonna say we got a super chat from Chris, saying Luka. Appreciate you, Chris. Saying Luka is trash is the worst take I've heard in my life. I don't know why y'all continue to doubt him.
Can we talk about the Mavs and Luka?
I'm not doubting Luka. I've never doubted Luka, Chris.
If you listen to Ken, the Mavericks are 2-18. They're 8-10 right now, currently. And Luka's averages are 24, 8, and 7. But if you listen to Ken, Luka's out here averaging 11 points, 6 assists, and 5 rebounds. Like,
averaging 27, 9, and 9. 27, 9.
Okay, there you go. Exactly. There you go.
So, and he's leading the team in steals too.
Okay, but according to Ken, he's he's basically a Kmart version of Tom Chambers. But okay, anyway.
Tom Chambers was better.
Hey, would either of you say he's a top 5 player?
No.
He's definitely Luka? Top 10.
Yeah, Luka.
He's top 10. Top five? He's top 10. He's definitely he's top 10.
Luka's definitely top 10 right now. Yes.
Top 10, top 15.
I would say top 15 guaranteed. Top 10 is where you can make a debate. My thing is what Ken just said, not as far as calling him trash, but as far as saying, like, I think he's more Kevin Love than Kevin McHale. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what they're...
What?
Because these stats ain't translating to really wins.
Oh, Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic is one Vlade Divac drunken stupor from being a Sacramento King legend. So let's just relax.
For real though, bro.
Like, the way that we are conditioned to look at Luka Doncic is an issue. And this man, Luka, is a pooper. I know you can't like teach like what some of the things that he has. He has great feel for the game.
Right.
But let's be clear, fam. He's closer to Lamar Odom than he is Larry Bird. Like, but why is that an issue though? Like Lamar, hey, a champion.
Odom was like before. Like, before
why can't he be that with a step back? Nice.
Listen, I will always respect Lamar. Like that's not an issue.
He had a handle too. So.
Right.
Let me say this real quick about what the main topic. Dallas is struggling because KP has been injured, first off.
Yes. Secondly, and they don't have good players. Dorian Finney-Smith, James Johnson. Like, look at that roster. They don't have anybody.
Man. It's hold on, man.
Let's finish this point.
Go ahead, man.
But that was it. I was saying that, and I think they were missing a couple other players, too, for a while. I just think that they hadn't had a chance to get everybody back in the fold. And KP has been hurt a lot. And he hadn't performed up to that billing that he should have been. But it's mainly because of injury and not because of his play. But once he gets back, I think they'll be okay. They're still going to make the playoffs. I have no doubts. But that man is a lot better than he's getting credit for. We're giving him credit for. He's not as good as they give him credit for. But he's nowhere near as bad as that.
Kevin Love won a title. He broke a lot of records. Specifically, yeah,
no, but this is where the disrespect is coming from you, Nick, and Q. Is there's a whole bunch of great players in the NBA. What puts you at higher tiers is, are you the reason why we can even compete for a championship, right? Lamar Odom is great. Love Lamar Odom. Rhode Island, watched him his whole Clipper career, went to the Laker. I'm a Lamar Odom fan. But with that being said, Lamar, when given the opportunity to be the best player on a championship team, couldn't make the playoffs.
Right.
That's the difference. So when we're rating these superstars, right, K-Love, great individual statistically. Was he making the playoffs? No. So you cannot be the number one option on a championship team. You get demoted down a couple tiers. Luka is still in the top tiers of the NBA. No, he's not on LeBron's level. Hell no, he's not on KD's level. I'm not saying that. But you got to elevate him because he has proven I can be the best player, the number one option on a championship team, and we can make the playoffs with just me. Great players, superstar players, I always say that. They can make the playoffs by themselves, and they could be the number one, if not the number two option on a championship team, depending on their play style. But Luka is definitely one of the better players in the NBA. Let's take away the disrespect. The man was balling from day one. But the moment he stepped on the NBA court, the man was balling.
He said top 15, nigga. Like, it ain't like we said
he's top 10. He's top 10. Who are you taking over Luka?
He's not top 10.
Outside of LeBron and KD, who are you taking over Luka Doncic?
That James man Harden, is leading the category.
James Harden.
I'll take those guys too.
I'm taking James Harden. I'm taking Kevin Durant.
Kevin
Durant is the non-question. Kevin Durant is one of the
I just gave you LeBron and I just gave you LeBron. If you right now, outside of LeBron, James Harden, and I'll put Steph in there. That's how much respect I got for Steph. Outside of those three, who are you taking over Luka Doncic?
KD. Put KD in that list too.
I just said LeBron, KD, and Steph Curry. Outside of those three,
Joker.
I'm taking James Harden. I'm taking Dame.
Y'all
taking Dame.
Man, come on. Y'all tripping now.
What? Y'all not taking Dame?
I ain't taking Dame. Is everybody's savior.
Y'all not taking Dame over Luka? What has Dame done?
I love Dame.
Hold on. Hold up. 1 second.
Dame is nice. Dame ain't that nice. No.
Dame has done everything Luka has done three times over.
Taking Luka over Dame? Hell.
Yeah, I'm taking Luka over Dame.
Dame has done everything.
Trust me.
That right Luka now, has right done now, three I'm times taking, over. Right now, I'm taking Dame. You, next 10 years, I'm taking Luka.
Man.
No, I'll give you that. That's fair. That's very fair.
Based on what, though?
Based on... Okay. We're not even gonna get it.
I'm not trying to demean this man because he's a hooper.
I love Luka, man.
Please, you know what I mean? Because he's a real hooper. But at the end of the day, I'm not about to like usher him into, and I'm not saying that you are doing this, Manny, but people want to usher people into Hall of Fame
after
just like two seasons. And I feel like it just needs to be reined in a little bit. And I was just saying, FIFO, that he's closer all time, I meant, in terms of, like, range. He's closer to me, Lamar, than he is a Larry Bird. You know what I mean? Oh, to me, that's like pantheon greatness, bro. You're talking about a guy who has had a hot song. Can he make a hot album? That's all I'm saying.
You're right. We just said it on the Tuesday Night Football show. We were talking about the only person that should be indoctrinated that fast is Patty Mahomes in any sport and field. But I mean he's the only one that should be considered. Let me just put it that way.
Would y'all take Giannis over Luka Doncic right now?
Who is that?
Giannis over Luka.
You said who?
They're close.
Giannis
over very Luka. Close.
I'll
take Giannis because he does on the defensive end. He's elite.
I'll take Giannis.
For some reason, every time Manny says that name, they don't show up when it matters. I don't know what the world. Who are you saying?
Greek Stormile Swift. Greek Stormile Swift.
Shout out to
if we're gonna be disrespectful, let's get disrespectful. Greek Stormile Swift or Luka Doncic.
Hold on, Manny, you just tossed the names out. Chef, what was your point, man?
I forgot now with that one. I completely forgot.
I'm bringing all this up as far as holistically the Dallas Mavericks and the trade is because when are we, last year in the playoffs in the bubble, based off of what y'all are talking about as far as some of these players in the bubble, that may be an outlier of who they really are when it comes to these NBA being competitive. Not to say Luka isn't poised and all that. Again, he's top 15. Maybe. If you said he's top 10, I'm not really going to argue. But moving forward, we have to see something like how we critical of Philly not getting out of the second round. Like Dallas hasn't been out of the second round. Or
Dallas has only had 1 year. This has only been 1 year with Dallas, though. Go ahead.
If Kristaps Porzingis had gotten hurt that last series last year, they would have beaten the Clippers.
My answer to you is if T Mac never got hurt, Houston Rockets would have got a title probably. So when we talk about these injuries, it the best ability is availability. So they traded for this nigga knowing his injury history because he was hurt in New York too. So it's just I'm not really going to excuse them for that because injuries are a part of the sport. Now it is a big void, but at the same time, they thought this was going to work. And
I feel like we're having two different conversations. So we're having a conversation about the Dallas Mavericks and then we're trying to have a conversation about Luka. Forget Luka. Luka, we can wherever you place him, whatever. As far as the Dallas Mavericks goes, I just think A, they've had injuries. And B, I just don't think that roster, that supporting cast around Luka Doncic is that great. Outside of Luka, Dwight Powell maybe, they just have guys. They just have guys. They don't really. That's not a team that really scares me. So I think that's the biggest issue with them right now.
I disagree because last year didn't they break an NBA record for the most efficient offense to the highest? They had Steph Curry last year who was a big part of their team and
Hardaway.
Huge. They had a lot. They got a lot of shooters and stuff. And
he's not on that team now.
Steph is in Philly,
and Luka can't make up.
If Luka's top 10, top eight, arguably. He should be able to, like, his stats.
But Nick, they're eight and ten. They played 18 games out of a 72 game regular season. Like, can we slow down? You want to now? If they're, they're 30 and 50.
They're down there with the Knicks. Sorry, Nick, but I mean, I'm just saying.
They're not, they need to get up because the Knicks in the playoffs right now. They're not, and even worse. To me, the fact that the Spurs are better, the Grizzlies are better, and the Thunder are better right now, that to me is just like, what's going on? Like, if Luka is really this good, they should not be 8-11 or 8-10.
But Shelton told you though. Shelton told you their second, their Robin has been hurt. Right.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
What do you mean? What does that mean? That means that we are now devoid of 20 points, 10, 11 rebounds, and a couple of last year? Blocks.
Was he there last year?
Yeah. Yes.
And when he
showed up, he was there, Nick. And when he showed up, the Mavs were a very tough out. You could arguably say that they were a top three duo in the NBA when they were healthy together.
Yeah.
What?
When he went down the playoffs, it changed. Remember? They were killing him when he was playing. And then when the injury happened, that's when the series changed. That's the only reason the Clippers snuck by them, period.
Is it possible Batman is hurt right now?
Well, that's kind of tough to say. Like I said,
he's on the court. So he's playing. He healthy enough to play. Yep. And he's still putting up numbers. So regardless if he's healthy or not, it don't matter.
And it's 18 games. Like, if this was 35, 40 games, like, okay, then I could say, all right, yeah, we need to have a conversation. But 18 games in an NBA regular season?
My quick question, though, to y'all is to Ken and Nick, what more would you think that Luka could do? I mean, if he's scoring almost 30 a game and averaging 10 and 10, 30, 10 and 10, what more can he add to his play? Well,
I'm gonna go off of what FIFA was saying when it comes to that Westbrook comparison. He was like, what did Luka does that Westbrook doesn't do? He makes everybody better. He's more inclusive with the offense. If he's that and he's got these gaudy numbers, but again, they're not translating to wins. And that's my biggest crutch against Luka for right now is that yes, he puts up these gaudy numbers, but do they really mean something down the stretch?
But hold on, Nick. Because see, what you're doing is you're taking a sample size and you're trying to apply it for the entire thing. And you can't have that shit both ways, bro. Because Luka, for his entire career, has averaged, if not better than 20, right at 18 or so, right? So in his career, we've seen what he is. Right now, they're missing a big part of their team. And Luka still has them in a position to still compete for the playoffs, right? Like, we know that it's a play-in now, so the rules are a little bit different. All I got to do is be in the top 10, and I got a chance. That's all Luka got to do. The same way when KD left, James Harden left OKC, and it was just Russ out there, and he was averaging a triple-double. Did they finish top five in the West? Did they finish top three in the West? Them boys was like number seven, and he got the MVP.
So you're saying that if they're a top 10 seed in the West, they'll get in the playoffs?
I'm saying that they have an opportunity to, especially if KP is healthy. That's a big part, bro. That's a bit. What did LeBron look like before?
That's what I'm saying, because to me, if you got Luka doing numbers, playoffs should be a guarantee. We shouldn't be talking about if, ands, or buts. Why not? Why not?
LeBron didn't get there when AD wasn't there. You're right, FIFA.
Exactly.
I was
going to
say the same thing.
The man missed half the season. Come on, y'all.
I'm being hyperbolic about LeBron missing half the season.
We know those injuries hurt.
In front of the Mavericks right now? Who's in front of the Mavericks right now in the playoff position?
Oklahoma City
again, through 18 games, no less. Obviously, the Spurs are 10-8. They're the sixth seed. Grizzlies are 7-6. They haven't played a bunch of games either. So they're 7-6. They're the seventh seed. Trailblazers are 9-8. They're the eighth seed. And then the Suns, Rockets, and Thunder are all ahead of them. You mean to tell me you don't think the Mavericks, once they get whole and once KP comes back, they're not better than the Suns, Rockets, Thunder?
No.
Grizzlies? Spurs?
Maybe the Thunder.
Better than the Spurs.
They're better than the Grizzlies. debatable whether they're better.
I'll say this should be better now. I'm not worried about what happens when they're fully healthy.
No,
is good enough for Luka right now? I'm asking you, as the leader of this team, as a superstar, top 10 player,
he's in position. Yes, you know what? Because I'll give you another example. What was it, about three, maybe 4 years ago, when the Blazers was way the hell out of the playoff race, and all of a sudden Dame went on this crazy streak and he got him into the playoffs.
Yep.
At the end of the day, Nick, when you are a competitor, a true competitor, and the sticks are and everything is stacked against you, all you want is an opportunity to get to the dance, bro. You as the best player on the squad, you know all you got to do is tread water at this moment in time because they're not healthy. So Luka's mindset, or any real baller's mindset right now, is like, damn. They're whole. Yeah, they got this, that, and the third. You know what? We just got to stay within one or two games, because as soon as we get healthy, we going to eat up them games and we'll be able to move up. All they got to do is tread water, Nick. You can't have it both ways like that. Like there's only five more games to the season and they out the playoffs.
What do you mean have it both ways? I'm talking about right now. This is what they look like right now.
Manny, you're looking at the record right now. How many games out of the top eight are they?
They two are, games, right? Yep.
Seven, eight.
Oh, two games. Seven. They're two games out of eight place. Nick, what the hell are you talking about, bro?
They're striking distance, what it should be.
And again, it's 18 games, player. And it's 18 games into a 72-game regular season.
Without so their second-best player being on the court. Matter of fact, they had a bunch of players out with COVID this year. They've been missing a bunch of players off their roster.
So y'all expect this. Go ahead.
By your standards, then, LeBron should never be considered the GOAT, because in the 18-19 season, he missed the playoffs.
No, that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
That's exactly what you're saying. Going off your standards, right? Lucas team is supposed to be, you know, 18-16-2 or something like
never
that.
Never said that. Never said that. I'm only talking about at least being like, they should be a bona fide 8-6 seed with just Luka alone.
If you ask, the season will tell the tale.
They get higher.
What is that, Q?
The season will tell the tale. I think that we'll know by, I would probably imagine, late February, what where this team is and what they can be if Kristaps is back, I presume, at the top of the month. I don't know if he's coming back this week, but at the end of the day, what we're going to see is I think the tea leaves are going to start to actually read for what they are. You know what I'm saying? Where we're going to really be able to clarify what Luka is, because I will say this, as things presently stand, and somebody please, you know, fact check how this team started off on the season. But to my estimation, Luka is struggling to make the playoffs with the team LeBron James took to the finals. You know what I mean? In terms of talent. And that's real. Because what we got to clarify is that if you're going to put somebody in the pantheon, then you got to be made of the same marble. You see what I'm saying? It's like LeBron is sculpted in a certain way. KD is looking to be sculpted in a certain way. Like, these are like just guys that we will have to understand their talent just rise above. Kobe, Mike, you know what I mean? So if you're going to put dude beside LeBron, if you're going, you know what I mean, say that, oh, well, he exemplifies the Jordan brand the best, you're going to put all this marketing, blah, 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 cool. All I want to see is, can you get this team to where they need to be? Can you pull what Dame did? Can you even put them in that position? We gonna see. I'm not saying he can't. He's a hooper, man, for real. And we gonna see.
Yeah, and you're exactly right, Q. And I think that's my issue. It's like they're already trying to anoint this man, you know, with the greats. Like, you know, at fucking Larry Bird. Like, Larry Bird gave everybody work, you know, and to
have and Luka don't.
Not like Larry Bird, bro.
But you're looking historically, at Larry Bird's historically entire speaking. Career versus Luka's third year playing. Like, we can't compare. But hold on, Ken, because this is that slippery slope that people aren't able to balance.
because when people are saying that Luka is potentially on the same level as a Larry Bird, you got to look at Larry Bird. Hold on. I'm clarifying it from how I'm digesting what I see, right? Like sometimes you got to read between the lines. Nobody's saying that Luka is better than Larry Bird. What people are saying is, I haven't seen a white boy do what this white boy doing since Larry Bird. And when you compare their first three seasons outside of Larry Bird competing for championships, because he had championship ready veterans already on the team, just like Magic Johnson did. But when you look at the numbers, you look at the play style, you look at the elevation of the other people, the IQ at being at such a young age, that's what they're comparing. We're not, people that are saying that are not saying that Luka's better than Larry Bird's career. That is yet to be determined. Larry Bird got how many championships? Larry Bird did what in his career? Allow Luka's not even in that phase that I always say in the 3 to 5 of growth.
21 years old. He's only 21 years old, dude.
Yeah. Like, why are we over sensationalizing some of these things that people say? Luka is great.
We take what the media says and then we run with it. We take what ESPN does and puts a thing out there. Oh, is this person the greatest ever? Like, we take that and then we make a topic out of it it's not even meant to be digested. It's like, it's ESPN, it's clickbait shit. Like, it's like, why are we even talking about that?
It is meant to be digested because these guys have, whether we agree with it or not, whether we're controlled by it or not, they have massive control and manipulation on what the general population think. And when this type of stuff happens and they elevate these guys without even earning it yet, then it distorts reality.
The fact that Shelton picked Luka over Dame Lillard, who's been to a Western Conference final, is ridiculous. And also the fact, speaking of Luka and just in general, I think he's closer to his ceiling than he is to his floor. Like, I don't really see him getting that much better than what he is. Maybe he can get more poised. But outside of that, my main concern is that if you are a top 10, top 8, whatever the fuck you want to say he is, you should always be in the playoffs.
No. Nick. This season is not over. So you can't say he's in or out of the playoffs. No. Hold on, fam.
Hold on.
He's within striking distance. We know that the top 10
get an opportunity. Is that the playoff?
That is the playoff. That's a play-in. You got to play in to get into the playoff.
That you couldn't be good enough to be a top 8. Which is saying
hold on, Manny. We're 18 games into this particular season, which is Luka's third season. Luka's first two seasons, how many times has he been into the playoffs in his first two seasons?
One.
50% of his career that he has completed. Huh? He made it both years?
No, I thought I might be wrong.
I thought he didn't make it the first year.
No, he didn't make it the first year.
So 50% of Luka's career that has been completed, he's been in the playoffs. What the hell are you talking about, bro? And he's in striking distance right now. You acting like they won two games. You acting like they're 2-16, and it's just they looking like your Wizards that you said it was going to win 50 games, bro. They're nowhere near that.
Uh-oh.
All I'm saying is that
shots fired.
At this rate, Luka's going to be better than Michael Jordan. That's all I'm saying.
Who said that, Ken?
The way it's going without the even championship, they're gonna say Luka better than Michael Jordan. They're gonna say he's
and
better
that's
than
why Luka. And that's why there's shows like Dead End Sports. That's why there's shows on all the other shows on this sports on this network that bring reality to the conversation. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't trust ESPN to handle this carefully because it's ESPN. They are in the business of selling ratings and advertising. Like they'll put out there that Luka Doncic is going to be better than Bill Russell. That's what they're going to say. I wouldn't be surprised if they haven't done it already. Like we're giving it too much attention. Is my point.
Nick, the Washington Wizards got the worst record in the NBA right now.
Hey, we still. Tell me when we get to that number, baby. Tell me to that number. Once they get to 20, that's when I'll be. That's when I'll concede. Until then, I still keep hope alive.
My quarterback is not going to win 50 plus games, bro. Give it up.
One more thing, too. Thank you, Alex Campbell. Alex Campbell with the super chat. How is Luka struggling to get into the playoffs 18 games in? LOL. That makes no sense. The season just started.
I agree.
My thing is this. This what I always like to do. If y'all don't know this about me, I like to make predictions before they happen. Regardless if I'm right or wrong, I like to make predictions before they happen. The way that I'm looking at this Dallas Mavericks team right now is going off of how much they prop up Luka as this great player right now in the NBA. And my expectations for great players is that you elevate your team regardless of who's on the roster or not, because a la KD, a la LeBron James, a la even Giannis Antetokounmpo, they elevate their team regardless. So to see a player who's up, who's in that tier based on Nick Wright's whatever or other media pundits, seeing them at 8-10 behind the Thunder, the Suns, the Rockets, and the Grizzlies and the Blazers, that stands out to me.
Guys that don't have a Luka on their team.
So that sticks out to me, and for me moving forward, I'm watching this team very closely to see how they respond. If KP even comes, like. The fact that we have to wait on a guy we haven't really seen play any meaningful basketball in like over 2-3 years, that says a lot to me about this team. That says a lot to me about that trade. And that says a lot to me about Luka as far as where he's really at in his career.
Luka's a loser.
We got another super chat from Alex Campbell. He said the big three Heat started 9-8 to start the season. And by Nick's logic, they would have been cooked, right, Nick?
That's not the logic that I'm talking about. I don't know why y'all keep on acting like
But even still, LeBron was an established veteran by then. LeBron had taken a trash ass, bum ass.
You're moving the goalpost, Ken. You're moving the goalpost, Ken.
Dwayne Wade was an NBA champion.
The whole point of my argument is that he is not as great as y'all are saying that he is right now. He is a great player, but he's not as great or helping elevate his team right now based off what I'm seeing right now. I keep on talking about right now. I'm not talking about his whole career. Nick, I'm saying right now, based on how they're talking about
the problem. And the problem is you're talking about right now.
Hold on, Manny. Nick, answer this question for me. Name me two players under the age of 25 that are better than Luka Doncic right now.
I have to do a list, FIFO. So go ahead with your point, bro.
That is the point. Under 25, give me two players better than Luka. I can give
I gotta look at a list. But go ahead with your
point. You gotta look at a list. It's a short list.
I know a lot of players under 25, nigga.
What do you mean? You know who's under 25? Ben Simmons, Jason Tatum, Trey Young. What do you mean? There's not that many
players. These niggas ages.
All right, Devin Booker is one, and Jokic is the other.
Booker's not better than Luka Doncic.
You out your goddamn mind.
He's not better. Has Devin Booker ever been to the playoffs? I'm waiting. I must have missed it. When's the last time the Suns have been relevant in playoff discussion? Don't tell me this year.
FIFO did not ask me about resume. Did you, FIFO? Did you ask for resume?
I would say
Joker and Donovan Mitchell.
You can go Donovan Mitchell. I like him too. Now, he's been to the playoffs, if that satisfies your criteria, Nick, with less talent than I think the Dallas Mavericks have. But, you know, I mean.
For me, the reason why I like, and I'm just being realistic, the reason why I love Luka is he has a well-rounded game. He doesn't do things the stat pad. He does things within his game that makes him a better player. That's what I like.
He does stat pad. He had to actually come out and apologize in a game that he cost them about a week ago.
I missed that. I had to go back and look at it.
What was your point? Because I answered your question.
My point is that there's not many players under the age of 20. It's a very short list that are at Luka's level or better.
It's a short list in general, nigga. It ain't that many good players under 25. There's okay, so what is the point? I picked two players.
You didn't think it was two.
He should have said three.
I knew that there was two, three. There's five.
It's a short list.
There's five.
Ken, send me where he apologized because I need to see that. Yeah, please find it. Hey, real quick, another super chat. Hey, we appreciate the super chats tonight. You're moving the goalposts, Nick and Ken. That's Old Jazz the Bless. We appreciate that.
I'm just talking about if he's that great, they should be able to be like the Utah Jazz have the best record in the NBA right now by percentage point. Not to say they should have the best record as far as Dallas Mavericks, but I'm expecting to see them to be competing. Like, they should be winning games now. If Luka is that great, they should be winning games now. Why do I got to wait halfway through the season to see this nigga be good?
They're 2 games out of 500, Nick.
They're playing a team. A playing team ain't that good. Is that right?
Nick and I have two different points. Mine is just about the elevation of Luka to like the top tier stardom, and he just got in the league and he can play. You know, I mean, I like his game too, and B noticed. But for people to prop him up that way is just, I'm just trying to get ahead of it. I see where this shit is going. So that's my overall point. Nick is about, like, the elevation that the media is doing is not translating to what he view as early on in 18 games as enough to carry this team to the playoffs.
And y'all points, and like, Ken, your point is valid. We can have a discussion on that. My issue is Nick's point is that he's basing his argument off of an 18-game sample size on a season that we're currently going through. That's not fair. That's not a fair assessment.
Hold on. Let me ask this question. We just asked, who asked the question, is Philly the best team in the NBA right now? Okay. So we go off a sample size. We do whatever we got to, because every week motherfuckers tune in to hear what we got to say about the NBA. So I'm sorry if I got some shit to say about Luka Doncic and where the fuck he's at right now. How long do I gotta wait to say some shit about Luka when he 8-10?
Let's wait about as long as you need to admit that the Washington Wizards 50-game prediction was ass. Like, that's okay, just,
that's so just a like you said, we wait till the end of February.
So let's do this, Nick. Let's write this down now. Who on the panel thinks that Dallas will make the playoffs? I say yes. Put that down, because we're going to come back to this.
Everybody for Dallas.
Yes, I say Dallas.
I say Dallas make the playoffs.
Yes.
I say Dallas make the playoffs too. Hopefully.
What is you talking about then?
I'm saying, but that's based on, I'm saying that based off of, because KP's coming back.
Next topic, bro.
I'm talking about Luka being by himself and what he is by himself.
Oh my God! Oh yeah, that's anybody.
All this time,
next.
Yeah, they're gonna make the playoffs.
Teams that's ahead of them just won't be able to keep up.
That's what I'm.
Their success. Yeah, OKC is gonna fall off. The Spurs may fall off. Whoever else ahead of them may fall off. It won't be because of anything Dallas do that special. I think the other teams will just run out of momentum.
Hey, so that made this whole conversation moot.
Yeah, we can go ahead on. Keep up the good work, Luka.
Who said that?
Keep up the good work, Luka.
Nah, man, we only take paid comments to shout out white people on the show.
Oh yeah, that's right.
But now that's all the questions that I have for right now.
All right. Oh man. I felt like there was something else, but I can't think of it right now. So anyway, well, good job, fellas. Good job. We ended on a bang.
Hey, real quick, before we go, since we were talking about the Wizards, what do y'all think about the Bradley Beal situation, and will he be traded?
Yeah, they got to tear it up. The Wizards aren't going anywhere. They're not doing anything. That Russell Westbrook trade was a Hail Mary. It was the last ditch effort, and clearly it's not working. I don't want to read into it too much, because again, it's 18 games. We got to still see more. Who knows? They can win. I don't know when the next game is, but they can win 10 straight starting the next game, and this changes the conversation. But I just don't think that franchise is going anywhere right now. So
trade deadline is March 25th. FYI.
Yeah. If by the end of this month they haven't figured it out, or by the end of February they haven't figured it out, then yeah, they gotta trade Beal.
I think regardless of if they win the next 10 or whatever, what have you, you gotta move on from Bradley Beal, because the foundation of that organization is not set. And he's aging out of
that window of being able to add young pieces and elevate, because they don't have a, they don't have enough of a core. They don't have a core. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And that's the issue. So in my opinion, they got to move on from Bradley Beal, and they got to move on from Russell Westbrook and start with rubble. Like just do what OKC has done. Stockpile drafting. That's the way that the only way that you're going to be able to compete for championships in this league is by getting talent. Washington is not a free agent destination. So you got to draft your guys, develop your guys, and then you got to sign your guys. And that's a process that they got to go through. And unless they do that, because look, every organization's main focus and main priority isn't winning a championship. Like Indiana, their main focus is not winning a championship. Right. So if that's your priority, then you do what Washington is doing. And you go get a Russell Westbrook and you prolong the inevitability. But at the end of the day, if Washington wants to win a championship, you got to clear house. Rui Hachimura, too. All of them. Everybody that's on the squad now that has any type of value, you need to go get them draft picks.
Anybody who's watching, what is wrong with Russell Westbrook? What's the problem? What's going on with him?
I've always said it. He's not a point guard's point guard. And what I mean by that is that a point guard is supposed to control tempo and get the best shots, especially down the stretch of games. I'm supposed to make the game easier for everybody around me if I don't do it my damn self. And Russell Westbrook is just too chaotic. He's not poised enough in crucial situations to make the winning plays consistently. Now, I'm not saying that he can't do it. No, he can. He's proven it. But he doesn't do it consistently enough to be good enough to compete for championships. He's not CP.
Ken, real quick, we got a super chat from Aldrin Dre. Ken, why exactly is Westbrook in your top 5 point guards?
He isn't.
He was?
he isn't. He wasn't in my list.
Oh, he wasn't?
I think the issue with Westbrook in Washington, I mean, listening to what FIFA,
appreciate the super chat.
Listening to what FIFA was saying, I think Washington did try to do that. They did try to rebuild back when Gilbert Arenas was transitioning out and they put John Wall in, and then they drafted Bradley Beal out of Florida. Like, that's what they were trying to do and trying to build it. It just,
and that was 10 years ago.
It's an organization. Exactly. I think it's bigger than drafting. I think it's a legit culture in the organization.
Hey, Aldrin, I had Curry, Dame, Simmons, Kyrie, and Chris Paul in my top 5 point guards this year.
Yeah, Beal is a part of the Wall era. And this Wall era, this John Wall, Bradley Beal era, is unfortunately been a disappointment and it needs to end. And it starts with trading Bradley Beal and then just tearing it down. Like people said, you just completely tear it down. And as far as Westbrook's just, you know, it's not all on him because Washington had issues before he got there. I just think Westbrook's just getting older. I think you're starting to see now the slow decline. I still think he could be good. I still think he could be effective, but I think you're starting to see the next phase of Westbrook's career, which is going to be interesting because he's never refined his offensive game. He's never learned how to become a great shooter. So once the athleticism starts to leave him, what is he?
Hey Ken, real quick. In the chat, I'm watching it. About 5 or 6 or 7 people have said that you had him at 4 on that bullet tape.
So I'm gonna look back on the tape.
We're gonna look back because they said we need a fax only ASAP. We got tape. Pull the tape. I'm saying everybody going in and saying.
I just looked at my notes. I don't see why I would say Westbrook because it's not here.
They said pull the tape when you can.
I think you said Westbrook to knock Luka during a Luka discussion. I don't know. Maybe they're referring to that, but I don't know.
I'll look at the tape. I'll call him out if he did. He got him on there or not. I agree with Manny though. As far as Westbrook, I think Westbrook is it's crazy that we've seen these the players now who are stars. They're now the old vets. And, like, I still remember Westbrook bouncing around the gym, and now it's just, like, he still can get up, but you could tell, like, his time is coming when it's, like, he's going to be a
– I think he just don't want to be here.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
that's part of it.
That's the thing. I think he just don't want to be here. Player now. No, I just think he just don't want to be there. I mean, because if you look at all the teams he played on, they've all been playoff contender team. Like, you know, teams that can possibly get to a championship, but it just never got there. But this team is like, you knew no once chance. He got it was yeah. like, yeah.
So when I look at the NBA landscape, there's only one team that he can go to from here and truly have a real chance of winning. That's the Clippers. That's the only team that you could take his style and it's not going to mess up down the stretch. Because down the stretch, the ball not going to be in his hand. The ball going to be in Kawhi Leonard's hand. You know what I'm saying? So to me, when I look at the rest of the entire NBA, Miami Heat possibly, but you know, I think they're going to be looking at Russell Westbrook to make plays down the stretch. But the rest of the league, he doesn't fit. He doesn't fit.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if the Wizards by March 25th make it. Like I think either Manny said it. Like just blow it up. Like just trade Bill, get some good stuff for Bill. See if you can get some good stuff for Russell Westbrook. Any draft picks or any players. Just blow it up and start from scratch.
I don't even think you could get anything for Russell Westbrook right now from a trade perspective. I think they almost have to just write him a check and just buy him out and have him sign with whoever he want to sign. Well,
like I said, if he goes somewhere like FIFO mentioned, the Clippers. Oh, I bet you we'll see a little pep in his step then. I just think he don't want to be there. I don't think he want to be at Washington. He's just playing at Washington like I'm just here so I won't get fined. Like he has that attitude right now the way he's playing. Like. I'm just here so I don't get fined. I'm still going to be professional. I'm going to still show up. But I don't think he just want to be there.
Yeah, he's been awfully quiet too.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't think he want to be there. That's just me. That's just from looking at how he's been playing his body language. It's just
– So, Manny.
He don't want to be there.
Looking at how many years and how much more money is left to Russell Westbrook, they are not buying this man out. He is due over $40 million over the course of the next 3 years, including this
year. Oh, my God.
They're not buying him out. You're going to have to trade him. And with that being said, I don't know what the contracts over there on the Clippers look like. But to me, that's the only team where he works. Now, I don't know if
I agree with you.
Financial
I agree with you.
Aspects of it. But yeah, man, like.
But if you're running the Clippers, but if you're running, and I just said that just to say that I know probably it wasn't realistic. My thing is, if you're the Clippers, if you are the Clippers GM right now, what are you trading for him? What a value are you giving up for him?
Everything not named Paul George.
I don't know.
All right. Well. Like I said earlier,
I was just gonna say one more quick thing for y'all, man. Okay. Isn't it fun watching Steph Curry this year?
Yep,
I told.
Oh, the guy that's overrated that
I told y'all
that can't play basketball without Klay Thompson and Draymond and Kevin Durant. That guy
tried to tell y'all.
Okay,
I had to tell y'all. Mm. Y'all gonna listen?
Mm. Try to tell who?
I tried to tell y'all that Steph was going. He was going.
Nick, you said he was done,
huh?
You said he was done,
huh? I didn't. I said I'm interested. I said I'm interested. No,
Nick said he just want to see can Steph be that dude for them.
Yeah,
but this is a common theme. This is a common theme all around NBA Twitter that Steph is like overrated and a creation and all that other stuff. All that nonsense.
Yeah. Look, anybody that has anything negative to say about Steph Curry, I have to take your basketball opinions with a grain of salt because, and I understand, you know, Steph looks a little bit frail. He's not the most physically imposing guy and all of that and all of this. But when you look at the skill set and you look at the marksmanship and you just look at the range, bruh, it don't matter what era of basketball this man plays in. It don't matter what team is around him. They're going to – Steph Curry is a true superstar. They're going to be competitive as long as he's on the court.
MVP right now.
And I think what people don't understand
– I disagree with that.
I think what people don't understand is that the fact that, you know, you see Steph Curry, I don't think people understand the work that this man put in to be the assassin that he is, man. Like that's – you don't understand that this man is probably – how many jump shots this man is probably shooting per day during off seasons. Like, and he's probably still shooting jump shots like that during his all. That's why man is such an assassin, man. Like, people do not realize the work that takes for him to be like that. That's crazy.
The man changed basketball and the way it is played and conceptualized around the world.
Whether you like it,
that's all you can say. That's all you can say about it.
Yeah,
and he's consistently consistent.
Yes, hey, look, man, the man hit 105 threes in a row. That enough said. But you know, in all honesty, I don't think nobody's changed the game the way Steph has changed it since Michael Jordan. And as much as I love LeBron, LeBron didn't change the game in a sense where kids could be like, oh, I could be LeBron. LeBron is just like, hey, look, God gave me this and I took advantage of it, as he should. But what Steph is doing, all kids feel they could do what Steph is doing.
FIFO, you mean Jordan changed the game by his play style or just marketability?
His play style and marketability. Mentality, all of that, everything that surrounded the mystique of Michael Jordan, if you know, you bottle it up and it's worth trillions of dollars, especially in today's money. What Michael was able to do back then was obviously create a brand, right? Like Jordan brand with no internet. And the play style, I think he forever changed the game because nobody was trying. I think Dr. J was first, but Dr. J, I guess he was just maybe a little too early, but he, as much flair as he had, he didn't have the same Michael Jordan type flair. And I think that what kids, okay, the Gatorade commercial is the prime example. Sometimes I be something like Mike. I want to be like Mike. Like every kid that enjoyed basketball knew that commercial. That changed the
but
game
that's
of
marketing.
Basketball.
That's not on the court. Like you had other guys.
But he had to do on the court to be able to do that.
Well, see, even more so than that, what kids emulate, like when you watch somebody and you go outside and try to do the moves that they did, like a Jordan, you got Allen Iverson, who kids try to emulate the dribble move, the crossover. Steph is that guy now. That's who kids still are trying to emulate. When you go outside, you say Steph with the three. You know what I'm saying? That's what I look at engaged by game changing. That's why he's so great to me. Everybody wanted to go outside and play like Mike. You had the wristband on. You had the leg sleeve like Mike. You know, that's
long shorts. Jordan was the first one with the long shorts.
Yeah, all that stuff you tried to do. Steph.
Really?
I thought go outside and
shoot. To usher that
in. Was the Fab Five. Yeah, that was the Fab Five.
No, the Fab Five.
I'm talking about NBA.
Super long
NBA.
Shorts. Yeah, Jordan. Jordan was the first. And Jordan actually was the first with those shorts like that with the long NBA shorts. The Fab Five had the super long shorts. But yeah,
he, with the black sneakers.
Yeah, he brought it in, man. He was that guy, and Steph is the next guy. He's that guy that everybody's trying to be.
I'm looking at it more from gameplay perspective. Obviously, the marketing, no one is ever going to touch Jordan. But I'm just looking at it from the actual way, the way we conceptualize basketball. I mean, Steph has probably changed it more than anybody. I think LeBron did too. I think LeBron ushered in this era of positionless basketball. It really started with LeBron, his ability to basically dominate from all five positions. I think that was more LeBron. That's his contribution to the game. I think Magic was just magic onto himself in a way. Like he was just a unicorn being that just came out of.
Man was a 6'9" point guard.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what. But how many?
A typical point guard was like 5'10".
They played center in the playoffs.
Right. This man played five positions in his rookie year in the NBA.
I'm not debating you. What I'm saying is that Magic still it was Magic, and then there was everybody else in this era that LeBron is in. LeBron was the first guy to really redefine what positions was. And then you started seeing cats, you know, 6'8" point guards like coming in every draft class. Then you started seeing 7-footers like KP that were positionless. That's what I'm saying. Like Magic was Magic. There was no other Magic in the 80s.
There's never been another Magic. This is where I slightly disagree with you, Manny. Jordan made the game a perimeter game. And before Michael Jordan, it was a big man's game. You're talking about Sam Bowie, you're talking about Hakeem. We're talking about all of the bigs that came, Chamberlain, Kareem. If you didn't have a big, there was no way you were competing for a championship. Jordan changed that narrative. The majority of America is under the height of 6'6", right? So it made everybody feel that, damn, I'm not 7 feet, but I can go out there and hoop, and I can lead my team to a championship. Like, right, if I get to that level or whatever level you play at.
But
right?
Jordan, he wasn't the first player to win a championship without a bona fide center.
I'm not saying that, B. Oh. I'm not saying he's the first. You don't have to be the first to be the most transcendent. It's not always about being first. Drake says it. It's not about being first. It's who did it best. Ain't nobody do it better than MJ. And that's the reason why MJ's marketability now still sells over $1 billion worth of shoes. It's because he scored that 69 in Boston. It's because he scored that double nickel in the Garden. It's because Jordan's moments are iconic. The tongue, the Jumpman logo, the fadeaway, the trash talk. No, I feel you. I'm just saying that LeBron hasn't had that, right? Like, and y'all already know I'm probably the biggest LeBron stan here. But LeBron, as much as I think that skillfully he's better than Mike in a lot of ways, when you look at how iconic he is and how the game changed, I give you a couple points, Manny, in terms of ushering in positionless basketball or at least hyping it up. But nobody outside of MJ has changed the game more for kids and the next generation more than Steph Curry. Because
I agree with you on that point. I agree with you on that. Like, you're not wrong. You're not wrong with anything you're saying. I don't know. I think with Steph, because I even more so than Jordan, because I mean, how many on earth are 6'6" that can fly like that in the sky? Like, I think what Steph Curry is doing is just this 6'2" soaking wet dude with bad ankles that's just shooting 3-pointers. Like, every kid looks like that, like, oh, I could be me. I don't need to be super athletic. I don't need to be this. I don't need to be that. I could do that, you know what I mean? And he's doing it and dominating from it. I mean, look, to end the conversation there, Steph Curry needs his flowers, man. The disrespect that man gets on Twitter and just in general is disrespectful and disgusting. That man needs his flowers.
All right, well, before we get out of here, I want to just go ahead and say out loud what I sent to everybody in the chat about Luka. Yeah, it was on ESPN. He said he was being selfish.
I think Ken was waiting for that one, boy. He said that quietly.
Yeah, he said the second half I played terrible. That's on me. That game, I was being selfish a little bit because I had 30 in the first half. That wasn't me in the second half. I got to do better. That's on me. I've got to do way better.
I love that maturity. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you at the end of February.
Yeah.
Oh man.
All right, well, yeah, that's it. Like, it's a cute dip on us, but yeah, I think with seven people, we managed to get through that. You know, seven is a lot and a lot of opinions. But yeah, overall, I think it was a good job. So we'll catch you guys. Next Tuesday, we'll have our Super Bowl picks for, you know, the upcoming big game.
And more Deshaun Watson talk. Hopefully, yes, we get something. Because I got to see when the NFL draft is.
Yes, baby.
Huh?
Deshaun on the way. Deshaun on the way, baby.
All right.
Somebody cut it.
And then, of course, back with more NBA talk. So that's going to do it for us. We'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.
Peace.